Tonight, the theme of my message is this: repentance. Repentance opens our hearts and ears to God. It's when we repent and we truly sorrow over our sins that we, with all of our hearts, we can have God really open wide our hearts and our ears to hear Him and to receive from Him truly, truly, not just thinking that we have hurt Him or that maybe we have repented. No, no, truly we will know the power of repentance. We will know the beauty of His voice and the power of His voice. We will tremble and fear Him. Exactly. That is what happens. So tonight, as we look at this passage from Romans 2, because we are going to go through Romans, and here what we see here is this message of repentance. It might not be obvious, but actually this is what the text is driving us to. This is what the Lord would want us to apply to our hearts tonight as we hear this message. So what happens here tonight is the Lord Himself is directing our attention to ourselves, our hearts, and our minds, and our standing before God. And we as Christians, we are checking ourselves before Him tonight. Are we a people who are really, who were singing this great song? Are we truly aware of the repentance we once made? Are we continuing repenting and maintaining that wonderful relationship that God has brought us to have with Him? The winsome presence of the Holy Spirit, the beauty of God, the glory of God, the wonders of the work of Christ on the cross for us. Because we can lose sight of this, we are saved and that's it. We go to church, we sing beautiful songs and we sometimes beautiful sermons and things like that. But that is not the end of this. These things God wants us to be really, truly the people He wants us to be. So He is calling us tonight to repentance. If we are going to be aware of anything that is standing on the way, anything that would just really mar the beauty of being a Christian, the beauty of being redeemed, the beauty of being filled with the Holy Spirit and being destined for great things. Maybe you think that you are not doing great things, but God wants us to do great things, even if they are so simple. These are the works of the Holy Spirit. And now, Apostle Paul, in chapter 1, he says the focus was on the Gentiles, the pagans, the people who did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, and yet God has revealed. Since what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it clear to them. But these people, they just didn't retain the knowledge of God. The result was the fact that was in verse, those people, you find them in verse 28 of chapter 1. They were described because they didn't retain the knowledge of God. Verse 28, and these people, because God has made it plain to them that He is God, He is a creator. In verse 20, and the result, because they refused, the result is that God's wrath was revealed against them. And God gave them up to their sinful behavior and patterns. And now Paul warns that we should not be like these people also. See, that is a point of connections. This is where we are going to move. Paul is just drawing the contrast now in chapter 2, saying that, warning his people, saying, to the believers, the people of Israel, the Jews. Now the focus is on the Jews. Those who have the scriptures, those who have the covenant. He says, you too have no excuse, you who pass judgment on someone else. For at whatever point you judge the other, you are condemning yourself, because you who pass judgment do the same things. So Paul is saying this. You, the Jewish, you are passing judgment on these people, not knowing you yourself too. You are sinful. You are sinful. Well, how can we apply this quickly to ourselves? So as we come here tonight, we are not talking about the Jews. The Bible is for us. We ourselves, we can put ourselves in the place of the Jews. And then we can put other people who are not Christian in the place of the Gentiles around us. How many times over our coffee and over our lunches and dinners, we talk about what the sinners are doing outside there. They are killing babies, they are tattooing their bodies, they are bringing to death, they are swearing, they are violent, you see. So we can say these things, yet are we ourselves free of the guilt of maybe even passing judgment that is not based on the truth? Because Paul will say that even if God judges these people, He judges them on the basis of His righteousness and His truthfulness, based on the truth. For God Himself makes no mistakes. He cannot bring someone before His judgment seat and He will just like want us to find the evidences to condemn the persons. He is a true God. And His judgment based on the truth. If He says that you are guilty, you are guilty. There's no appeal on earth that can help you. Only to repent. And that is why repentance is the key for us. Not to say that we have not sinned. Not to say that we are good. But when we repent, we are crying for His mercy. For it is only when we repent that we can be washed clean and delivered from the guilt. Today I was speaking to Andrew Martins. He's a doctor, so a person brought to him who has cut her throat out of guilt that he couldn't do anything good. And Andrew just felt really touched by that and tried to say to her, look, if you only knew that God can take away the guilt that you have, just if you have, you should have only, if you have, you would only repent of your sins, God would just wipe your sins away. So this is what happened. So Paul's here, he says, well, to do the very thing that they condemn in the pagans was to condemn themselves. That is verse 1, is to condemn themselves. So who would want to be found in a place of condemnation? To be condemned is a bad feeling. Just even when people just say bad things about you, so that can be really a horrible feeling to be condemned, let alone God Himself to condemn you. Because when God condemns, no one can help you, isn't it? When God condemns, no one can help. No matter how much you put all the wealth of this world together to bribe God, you can. No bail. You will be remanded forever to that day when you will be thrown fully into hell. But God does not want that. That is why this passage is for us tonight. That we look to our hearts and examine ourselves and cry out to God. And my prayer is that the Holy Spirit may just take these words and apply them on your heart and search you thoroughly. Because God wants you to be free. Wants you to walk out from this place today. And I think the reasons, because our people, the people of Israel, these people, they assume that God would excuse some of their behavior simply because they are the covenanted people. They are the people of God. The children of Abraham, they have the faith of the Abraham, our father Abraham. That was what they were challenging Christ with. And Jesus said, if you were children of Abraham, you would have loved me. Because Abraham himself, he looked to my days. Even before he was there, I was there. I am the God of Abraham, myself. And these people, they thought that God would overlook sinful trends in their behaviors. The thing that they condemn among the pagans, that God will overlook these things. God, we have been saved by grace and grace alone. And God wants us to continually live by grace and not to think highly of ourselves so that we can have a true fellowship. That is what we heard this morning, so that we can walk in the light. This is the true walking in the light. We may know these words by heart, but these words need to transform us, to transform us and to make us truly soft as water. It's sweet like honey, it's strong like the bravest soldiers ever lives. So this is the greatness and the importance of the message of repentance. Some of you who were here for a long time, when we were renovating this church, we were in that hall, was so beautiful, we were so close to each other. So the preachers were just, a preacher would stand there and just the people just as if he would touch them. So it was so cool, it was so nice. But this building's nicer, isn't it? So it was good. So I got up one day and I started my sermon by saying, if today you are given a chance to choose between two words, which one would you choose? Repent or rejoice. Some people's minds went to rejoice, isn't it? But I say, no, 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 please say repent. So choose repent, because it's only when we repent that we can know God, that truly we can receive the Holy Spirit. We can receive forgiveness. We can receive strength from God when we repent. So repentance is not a dirty word. It's the best word ever written in the Bible. It's the best word, because that you say, when you repent, you say, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. If we are worthy, Christ have died in vain. And Christ's intercession in heaven today, in heavens, would be in vain. Because he knew that we are sinners. We need him all the way. Our Lord and our Master, our Lord and our Savior. He said he will be with us now and forevermore. So Apostle Paul was warning his readers who were thinking highly of themselves, who were thinking that they have made it just on the basis of their or ethnicity and also their relationship with God. And today, this is a serious warning for us all. Because sometimes belonging to a beautiful church, you may think that, yeah, I have arrived. Yes, there's nothing wrong with me. I have a great preacher who preaches to me the truth. You see, even if he is doing that, and yet your heart is corrupt and not wanting, desiring to repent, you will lose it. You will miss everything. So being a great church doesn't save you. But applying this great truth of God saves you forevermore and qualifies you to receive all that God has planned for you. Why would you want not to repent when through repentance you can receive this witness fellowship with the living God, where God can rejoice in his throne, on his throne, over a sinner who repents, who acknowledges his glory. So belonging to a great church does not save us, but belonging to a group of people, even young adults, does not save us. You see, all that we are seeking as young adults is like to walk with God and to be repenting always and to be receiving the truth of God and to be humbling ourselves and not thinking highly of ourselves, even when people trample upon us, even when they disregard us. So it doesn't matter. Christ himself was mistreated. And he was pushed out of the city. And he was taken, Hebrews 13 tells us, he was dragged outside the city. And he was publicly and shamefully crucified as a criminal for you and I. So that we continue repenting. So that we don't think highly of ourselves. Regardless of the church we belong to, the ethnicity or our ethnic background, the social class we belong to, the level of education we have and the clothes that we buy, whether you go to Country Road or Rod and Gun or whoever. These things will not save you. So belonging to a group of people does not save. Whether you think of yourself you are cool or you are not cool, that doesn't matter. The coolest is the person who repents all the time, who repents all the time, who acknowledges Christ, who falls on his knees, who sings from his heart. Though our sins are many, his mercies is more. And so this is what we need to know in this country. This is what we need to know in whatever church we want to set up. Repenting. And you don't think that, you think sometimes it's easy, isn't it? You need to invite God to help you repent. You see, that is what really the Bible says. We need the Holy Spirit to show us truly that we are not important, that we are not that great. You see, we are not great. So all of us, we will be put in those small boxes. You see, but that is not where we end. Before the throne of God above, I have a perfect plea because I have repented of my sins. And I'm willing to repent right now. So Apostle Paul tells these people, warns them, that you don't think highly of yourself. Because the people of Israel, they were privileged. Well, they were privileged. And they were thinking that this privileged relationship between them and God this grace that they have received from him would exempt them from coming before his judgment seat. And Paul went on to say that although you are a nation, you are a people, really what you do individually is very important, isn't it? That is what he's saying here. He's saying that each person who does wrong will come before the judgment seat of Christ. To those who but for those who are seeking, self-seeking, and who reject the truth and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger against them. Well, Paul went on to say that, look, God, now we know that God's judgments against those who do such things is based on truth. So when you, a mere man, pass judgment on them and yet do the same thing, do you think you will escape God's judgment? Do you think? And the Greek construction is a question that invites only answer, no. That is a construction. So they put a question in a certain way. From the way they put it, you know whether this question can accept yes or no. I think it's just like computer programs. Sometimes you put a number, they reject that number, isn't it? So no matter how much you try that, it's rejected, isn't it? It's just like this. Do you think you can escape? No, we cannot escape. But Paul says that. Or do you show contempt? Or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, tolerance and patience, not realizing that God's kindness leads you toward repentance? And now it says, like, not just only kindness. He said, the riches of his kindness is abundance. He is a great God. He is kind, truly kind. And so you might be doing these things for so long, harboring wrong thoughts and really not repenting on certain things in your life, and yet everything is going all right. But Paul says here in this text that this tolerance, that God is not moving really to crush you right now, is out of his kindness. Because he desires that we repent. He doesn't delight in us being crushed and destroyed. That is why Paul could say, declare this to us, that his riches, or the riches of his kindness, not only kindness, tolerance or forbearance and patience, we should come to realization is this is for us. It's for our blessings. It's for our benefit. And so let us not delay when God is putting his finger on something in our lives. we need to rise quickly and repent. Why would we want to have contempt, to despise this kindness of God? Because certainly days are coming. Certainly days are coming where there will be no opportunity for us, when God will say that I have waited enough for you to repent and you have not. Just imagine if the father of the prodigal son, he was waiting for his son to come. Just imagine if he shut the door and said, like, you are not welcome. This boy will go back and starve to death, isn't it? But he welcomed him. This is our Father. This is God we worship today. The reasons that we are still here today, not smitten with all our issues and pride and holding of judgments against other people, when we think highly of ourselves, unhumbled, not humbled, we think that we can get away with this. Today, we shouldn't pass the doors of this church. You don't need to come to me and tell me these things. You can go directly to Christ. You can come through to him and just repent truly from your heart. And as you repent, true repentance leads to salvation. And God actually moves and touches. The reason you will remain in that state is because you are not willing to repent. You are playing repentance, isn't it? And so when people play repentance, they can never change. They can never receive God's mercy. So let us take this seriously. Paul saying, this forbearance, this richest kindness, God is kind. Kind that he gives us something we don't deserve. When we deserved his judgment, he's waiting for us to repent so that we avoid his judgment. That is why I said repentance opens our hearts to God. You see, repentance opens our hearts and ears to God. Because once we repent, our heart will be filled with peace and joy and assurance that we have been forgiven. Our ears will be listening to God. We will hear like Isaiah 51, 50, the Lord God has given me the ears to hear. See? So if we go back and we see the people of Israel in Judges chapter 2, Bukim, the people, when they were reminded of their sins, how they have not obeyed God, when they were told to wipe out their enemies, so they didn't do that. So what happens at some stage when they were together, the angel of the Lord went up from Gilgal to Bukim, to that place, and said, I brought you up. God reminding these people of his abundance richness, his tolerance. He reminded them of his hand and his blessings. He said, I have brought you up out of Egypt and led you into the land that I swore to give to your forefathers. I said, I will never break my covenant with you. I will never break. And this is what Jesus has done. This covenant is eternal covenant. Jesus is not going to break it. But he's wanting us not to despise this grace. So when these people were reminded of God's hand, and you shall not make a covenant with the people of this land, but you shall break down their altars, yet you have disobeyed me. Why have you done this? Tonight the Lord may say, why have you done this? Why you are like that? Why you are not repenting? Why you are in that bad relationship? Why you are judging other people? Why you are just not living honestly before God? Why you are proud? You see, why have you done this? Why? I love you. I died for you, Jesus would say. And I placed my Holy Spirit in you. And I destined you for glory. You will sit with me in heaven. Like when he said to this thief, when he repented, he said, remember me in your kingdom. Jesus said to him, not tomorrow, not in the future, now, today, you will be with me in the paradise. So we are a people like this, destined for that place. And these people, they were told this, but when the angel of the Lord had spoken these things to all the Israelites, the people wept aloud. And they call that place Bukim because they have cried. That is the Hebrew word for crying, Baka, Bukim. That is how we show our repentance. True repentance leads you to show remorse and pain in the heart. That is the true repentance. That is how we can relate to our God. And that is our problem today, even myself included. That our hearts have been hardened. That we are unable truly to repent from the heart, from our sins, and to be transformed. Because true believers, we have repented. Like at the first meeting with the Lord Jesus Christ, they grow, isn't it? So we didn't all just suddenly become really mature, isn't it? We started with repentance. As we went on repenting, we grow in faith, in the knowledge of God. And a knowledge that will have no limits. Because we will not know everything. We will never be perfect. But we grow in sanctification, in holiness. So that is why we need this. When we first repented of our sin, we need to have the same degree and also the depth of repentance. We need to know how to repent. We need to know to feel God in our hearts. We need to know the pain of sinning against Him and sinning against other people. Because this is the problem of the church today. There's no difference. We put on faces as if everything is right. And when we repent, it's not like a repentance. It has no fruits. That was what really John the Baptist was saying. Repent and bear fruits that speak of repentance. Repentance changes you, gives you joy, doesn't condemn us. When you repent, you will be a free person, isn't it? You won't have the burden, oh, I've done something wrong. You will have the joy of being forgiven. And people around you will know that you are forgiven because of your sin. You have repented of your sin. Well, Apostle Paul reminded these people. He says to them, do not, you have no excuse. Like other people had no excuse. You, the Jews, you have no excuse. And God does not show partiality. He's a free God. He does not take sides. Whoever repents, receives. This is our God. Just imagine if God is partial. If God only likes Africans, where will you be? Or the opposite is true. If God loves only the rich people, where will the poor be? If God only loves those who are highly educated, where will be the uneducated who trust God from the bottom of their hearts, who rejoices in sufferings and know how to call on His name and know the power of the Holy Spirit and know the beauty and the wonders of the union with the Lord Jesus Christ? God shows no partiality. And that is why we should be repenting if you will be ever called a Christian. Repentance opens our hearts and ears to God. Help us always to have ears that hears God. And so when I first came to Australia out of revival in Egypt, I thought everything in this country was like Christian. So there's this Clive Peters, isn't it? It's like windows things or blind things, companies. Clive Peters. I thought they were saying Christ Jesus. So I wanted to baptize everything to be for Christ Jesus. Oh, it's just incredible. Yeah, I went from factory to factory and they were asking me, are you selling something? I just wanted to stop and talk to every person there. I say, yes, I'm selling something. I just want to talk to you about the Lord Jesus Christ. To despise the riches of God is to neglect them, to view them as unimportant and insignificant. How often do you pause and think of your heart and think of the mercy of God towards you? God delights in us repenting. That is why He shows his abundant kindness that we might repent of our sins. That is what Paul is saying. And he's told them two things, that God makes no mistakes. Those who seek, those who by persistence, not just one single times, but by persistence in doing good, see glory, honor. See glory, honor, and immortality. And God will give them eternal life, these people. That is verse 7. We take to heart. So everything that you do is not in vain. As you humble yourself, as you delight in the Lord, as you repent of your sins, as you seek to do good by God and by others, as you humble yourself and not think highly of yourself, you are seeking glory, you are seeking honor, you are seeking eternity, you are seeking Christ. And you heard those who will persist in doing what is wrong and thinking highly of themselves, they will be in trouble. There will be trouble and distress for every human being who does evil. First for the Jew, then for the Gentiles. Always. It doesn't matter. Because we have been shown this grace, we have been shown this mercy, so we shouldn't take God's grace for granted. And now Paul is clear. He says that there is no partiality. You know, when I was growing up, there was no strong Christianity in teaching. And yet, the Bible says that there is conscience. People will be judged by their conscience. And I tell you what, the word conscience, I should find. I ordered a book 18 months ago or 2 years ago. I saw about conscience because I was in a prayer meetings. So God spoke about conscience. I ordered that and never came. I don't know what happened to that. So the conscience of the people that time, I'm talking about 40 years before, 45 years, was very clean to me, because people in the villages, they were acting in such a way that their conscience were really alive. You wouldn't allow your cattle to get into another person's field during really planting times. You wouldn't just do anything that will jeopardize the norms in the village. The conscience of the people was very important, because God has placed it that way to bring the gospel. And so the conscience and the gospel were to do one thing, that people honor God. How about us today who have these scriptures? Shall we continue disregarding the word of God, or repenting so that God can open our hearts for his truth to reign our hearts, and also to give us ears that discerns God's voice? Let us pray.